Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
State your name for the record, please.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I have a question pertaining to the $30,000 bid that's before you. Since you got about 250 kids that should be home studying for their final exams, I think it would be appropriate for the council to suspend the rules and talk to these kids and answer their questions. The fact of the matter is the $30,000 for janitorial supplies just does not trump the time that these people have taken out to come to the city council. And for most of these people, being their first time being here, this council should show the leadership, suspend the rules, and hear their voices. Thank you.
State your name for the record, please. State your name for the record, please.
Stacia Heiler, Ward 9, also one of the administrators of Warwick Watch. Okay? I advise every student in this room to go on the Warwick Watch Facebook page and educate yourself on what's going on in the city of Warwick.
Excuse
you know what, kids?
Me.
No, kids,
Stacia.
This is just the beginning of what's to come. This is just the beginning because the city is broke. This is why we're all here. And I called it the other night when I said that when the you-know-what hits the fan, okay, they're all going to start eating each other, and that's what's happening. There's not enough money. When you see a politician sitting up there going, I'm going to give you $6 million more, they don't have the money. They're full of it. So
Stacia,
educate yourself.
Me. So it's interesting to me that people who have attended this meeting,
it gets you nowhere.
It is interesting to me to listen to folks who have been to the council meetings many times over the years who simply don't want to abide by the council rules.
Suspend the rules.
Mr. Cody, I have already acknowledged the fact that anyone can go to this mic and speak to the issue at hand. So I don't need you to come to the mic and tell me to do so. We've already done so. And that is the agreement that I have with every one of these individuals. They can go to that mic and they can speak to that issue that is on our calendar. Please, go ahead.
Linda Gentile again.
I'm sorry.
Linda Gentile. I'm sorry that I am still on this.
Officer, close that door, please.
I'm sorry that I still am. I have just a few questions about the cleaning supplies. Now, because it's my first time, I'd like to know. Now, the young lady comes forward with a bid. I mean, the city is asking for $30,000 for cleaning supplies. Do you just approve it, or do you, sometimes do you say, it seems a little high, could you go back and cut that number for us? Could you get it down to $23,000? I mean, I know it's only $7,000 compared to what Mr. Marola said. We have millions of dollars to talk about. But I think every little bit helps. So do you ever say, can you come back in a month from now and try and cut that cost for us?
That is an excellent question, and I am going to be very happy to answer it for you. I'm going to have to ask for your indulgence with some patience because the answer is going to be a little bit lengthy.
That's fine.
In 2016, the Finance Committee changed completely. The council president at the time was Councilman Solomon. At that time, I was appointed finance chair. Councilman McAllister and Councilman Howe were appointed members of the Finance Committee. And your question is so spot on. So in the second, maybe the third month, I'll be happy to answer the question if you're willing to listen. The second or third month in this finance committee, and this, don't misunderstand, I am not bragging here or taking credit. I'm simply answering a very well-directed question. Second or third month, we had the fire department come before this city council, come before this finance committee, looking for approximately $1 million worth of equipment, and we denied it because we couldn't afford it. We have literally, over the last 2.5 years, denied millions of dollars of equipment that we couldn't afford. The folks that have been coming to this council meeting time and again have heard the position from this finance committee and what our philosophy is, that we're going to ask all the department heads to do a little more with a little less. And I can assure you, this finance committee and this city council has not made, let's say, a warm and fuzzy relationship with some of the department heads, because they don't just walk up to this podium and get what they please. There is no rubber stamp on this finance committee. There's no rubber stamp on this city council. But that applies unilaterally across the board. It isn't just about a shovel or sand or salt or a truck. It's unilaterally. It's like a speeding ticket. When we reach out and enforce for speeding enforcement, that goes to everybody. That doesn't mean the people that live in the area are exempt. We have completely changed the culture of how these bids are done. At one point in time, departments used to come before the finance committee with a bid, and they want X whatever for whatevers. I'll use an example. And I'm being very candid and open with you. And perhaps some folks might not be too wild about that, but I know this city council believes in being candid and open. Came before us with a bid for, let's say, tires, a significant amount of tires, with a list price, I'm sorry, with a discounted price. And we had three or four vendors. And one vendor was 52% discount, one was 40, another one was 36. That stopped when this finance committee took place. Because how do we know if 52% is a better deal than 40 if you don't know what the starting price was? We kicked these bids back. It's what we mean when we say we sent them back out for a rebid. We have done that countless amounts of times since this finance committee and this current city council has been in place. Countless amounts of times. We have sent bids back. We have asked for rebids. We have booted bids. We have refused to provide. Or we have cut their amounts of monies because it was beyond what they needed and beyond what the taxpayers could afford. And this has been done time and time again. We are dealing, or we're dealing, particularly we're dealing with a culture where you just basically came in, asked what you want, and you got it. Well, those days are long gone, and if you were to look at our voting record and look at the tapes, you would see that those things have taken place. And it's going to continue to take place, because if we find or we suspect that a bid can be better or perhaps should be better, as an example, sometimes you'll hear people, department heads coming in and saying, we're going to just sign on to the MPA. That's the Master Purchase Agreement, or some crazy word for that acronym, with the state. And oftentimes you'll hear someone from this committee say, when was the last time you went out for bid? Oh, that was like 3 or 4 years ago. Fine, time to go out for a new bid. Another rule changer and game changer with this finance committee and this city council, earlier years, it doesn't happen anymore, was we would ask the question, why is that the way it's being done? Because that's the way we've always done it. The gavel is down, it goes back out for bid. If that's the answer, because that's the way you've always done it with the previous administration, that's not how it works with the current administration. And that started changing in 2016. So I'm sorry to go on about this, but your question was I think, very important. And is every single decision made perfectly? Probably not. But I can assure you that we spend significant amounts of time looking into these bids, strategizing on who the bidders are, what the numbers are. We've stopped going out with 4, 5, 6 vendors on bids. We've required the purchasing department and the department heads to call the vendors and say, hey, we sent out 20 bids. Only 2 people bid, like the same 2 people that were bidding for the last 15 years. We stopped that. We have kicked bids out because department heads have said to us, no, we didn't call to find out why they weren't bidding. And how did we get on that tangent? Because some of us, including myself, went to those vendors personally and asked them why they didn't bid. And the answers were quite disturbing. And when you don't get vendors bidding, you don't get competitive bids, or as competitive.
Okay.
So,
anyways. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Next.
Bridget Allman. I also have children that were in the Warwick schools. My oldest graduated 2 years ago. What I don't think all of you understand is that bid that they're trying to approve has to do with fields that you all go and use. So it's not just the city buildings, the entire city of Warwick. And I understand the frustration. I'm frustrated as well. They're not putting toilet paper in empty buildings. So what I'm trying to say is I think we need to move on, and that I don't think that everybody here understands there's state laws they have to follow for these bids. And a lot of vendors don't want to be bothered with filling out paperwork for bids. I work in a district. I know how difficult it is to get those bids. So again, and this $30,000 they're asking for is for the entire city, all the other buildings, all the fields that all you kids use, and it's for the entire year, not for like a short period of time. So I think we could probably move forward unless people want to really continue this.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak to bid 2019-309? Sir.
Robert Bell, Bowman Woods resident. Sir,
in the mic, please. I couldn't hear your name.
Robert Bell. So I live here in Warwick. My son goes to Warwick Public Schools. I went to Tollgate myself. I also went to Vets. Back then, it wasn't clean.
Closer
now,
to the mic,
still
Robert.
Still not clean. At the beginning of the school year, I was required to send my son to school with cleaning supplies. Why are you guys asking for more?
That what you're asking is, why are we asking for cleaning supplies here?
Why did I send my son to school with cleaning supplies, asked by the public school, and now you guys need more of it?
The schools were being cleaned by the school department. At least they were supposed to be.
So why are the teachers asking for cleaning supplies as well? In regards to school building funding, does
this... Sir, I can't hear you. Just patient. Eventually, they'll let you speak.
As far as funding the school buildings, does that go towards John Wick's and the other buildings, like they said, the ones that are closed? Because, like I said, my son goes to public schools. He also goes to that school, and he does his sports practice there.
Sir, I cannot speak to what the school department does or doesn't do with cleaning supplies or any other supplies. We have absolutely no control over what the school department does or doesn't do with the money that they have. So I can't answer those questions. Thank you. Any other questions on 2019-309?
Good evening. My name is Donald Centracchio. I have two daughters in the Warwick school system. I'm a public school teacher as well. I have never thought as much about cleaning supplies as I have in the last hour. However, I have come to the understanding that cleaning supplies are as important to a public building as sports are to a public high school student athlete.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. Ken Larravee. I have two kids in Warwick Public Schools. I think, you know, everybody probably thinks that we're having too much discussion about $30,000. But one of the things that really struck me was as you were going over the cost of a gallon of bleach at $1.24. As a commercial property manager with about $250 million worth of assets under management, I never paid more than 99 cents a gallon for bleach, and I never paid more than $1.20 a gallon for pool chlorine. So when you as a counselor are struck by numbers that you can do your homework on, so to speak, and scratch your head about and go back to everybody and say, hey, what's the deal with these bids? It makes your taxpayers wonder, what about the things that not everybody knows about? The things that are special that you rely on your department heads to really educate themselves about. If you can go out to the Family Dollar and buy a gallon of bleach for 89 cents, you have tremendous leverage. You have more leverage than I had. And to say that it's because of the bid process, nobody can reconcile how you pay a 25% premium to be in the bid process. That doesn't make any sense. Thank you.
That's something that's required by state law.
Understood.
I'm with you on it. I agree.
I went out to bid for everything I purchased. Mm-hmm. My statement isn't to whether or not you go out to bid. It's why the cost is a 25% premium for buying that bulk.
Thank you. All right, if we can move on. 2019. Huh? I know.
Oh, sorry.
That's what I mean when I say move on. All right, I need a motion on 2019-309.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2020-026, photography and printing supplies found on page 49. Major? Bear with us, Major.
In April, the police department...
Major, excuse me. Just state your name for the record, please.
Lori Michaelides. In April, the police department went out to bid for BCI photography supplies. These supplies are necessary for our detectives to photograph serious motor vehicle accidents and crime scenes. We received 7 bids overall. Although I am aware this council generally does not like splitting bids, we are requesting an exception to this case. The police department is recommending that this bid be awarded to W.B. Hunt of Melrose, Massachusetts as the overall lowest bidder for photography supplies. Additionally, we are requesting Kerry's Photo Labs of Warwick Avenue, this city, be awarded the portion of the bid relating to printing and development of photographs. Kerry's provides a unique service that the other bidders cannot. We rely on Kerry's for the printing of photos for prosecution purposes to include discovery and evidence at trial. We have used them for several years and found their product and availability top-notch. We are requesting authorization up to $4,000, but purchases will be made on an as-needed basis.
And Major, specifically or generally, what are these photography and printing supplies used for?
They're specialty cameras, they're specialty lenses, there's tripods and monopods. It's all associated photography equipment that they may need depending upon the lighting. It's at night or if it's during the day inside a house, it would vary what equipment they need to use.
So essentially for crime investigation?
Absolutely, yes.
Accident, reconstruction,
etc. Yes.
Okay. And Major, you're correct. The committee, as you heard me saying earlier to one of the ladies that came to the podium, the committee absolutely has change culture with multiple vendors. But in this case, I can't speak for my colleagues, but I will say that I'm going to support your request for both vendors because it's very clear to me that the developing and printing would not be in the best interest of the taxpayers. And by the way, some of these items we're talking 30 cents versus 39 cents. Some we're talking $1.99 versus $2.49. So yes, several people came to the podium and said that $30,000 doesn't sound like a lot of money,
but it is a lot of money. And to break it down even further, the way the Finance Committee and the City Council looks at this is it could be $30. I get it. $30 is after tax dollars. Someone has to earn 40 to be able to have 30 to spend. And we take that very seriously. And that's why so many times we've sent that back. You've been in this job for a very short time, Major, and I think you've already seen several times when the Finance Committee has sent something back or revisit it, change it, do it again. So yes, I'm going to support this in this particular case because every one of those items that you want to purchase from Kerry's is cheaper than the other builder with one, maybe two minor exceptions. And I think you're doing your due diligence. I will support that. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Sir.
I just wanted to comment on the development and printing. I know that we're splitting it between W.B. Hunt for other parts of the bid and Kerry's for the development and printing. And looking at the three items on page 14, W.B. Hunt charges $34.99 for an enlarged color photo, and Kerry's is $6.99. Number 10 is 11 by 14, $34.99 versus $6.99. And number 14 is $23.99 versus $6.99. It clearly shows that Kerry is a better deal for the printing. The question that I have in looking at the rest of the 11 pages of the bid is the comparison of W.B. Hunt with the other bidders. And there are some things that they're the only one who bid on, like batteries. So I understand why for the developing and printing we would go with a local vendor. There's some sizable differences in the prices. I don't know what the analysis was concerning the balance of the bid with W.B. Hunt.
Thank you, Councilman. Major, I'm going to take it a step further. I don't need to take it a step further because Kerry's didn't bid anything else but this. So I don't need to say that you will be restricted to purchasing only those items from Kerry's because that's all Kerry bid, correct? Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2020-037, medications for emergency medical services found on page 66.
Good evening.
Chief.
Jason Umman Howard, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department.
Thank you, everyone. Chief, speak into the mic. Speak like you're mad so we can hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
Jason Umman Howard, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department.
Okay.
The bid for medications for emergency medical services 20-037 has been carefully reviewed by the Fire Department. Two vendors submitted bids after evaluating pricing. The following vendors have met all specifications outlined in our request and have proposed the lowest prices. Therefore, I recommend the bid be awarded to the following vendors: Boundary Medical out of Dublin, Ohio; Henry Schein out of Irmo, South Carolina. After tabulating bid prices, we found of the 50 items that were specified, Boundary was the lowest on 27 of the items. Henry Schein was the lowest on 23. The Fire Department believes it's of vital importance that more than one vendor be awarded due to the common availability issues we experience when ordering medications. Having two vendors will allow us to purchase life-saving medications from one vendor if another vendor has the medication on a significant back order. Items will be purchased on an as-needed basis from budget code 35367, EMS supplies and equipment. The current bid expires 7/20/19, and if approved, the new bid will be in effect for 1 year, beginning 7/21/19, for an amount not to exceed $3,000.
So, Chief, there's
Never mind, I answered my own question. No, let's go to number 34.
Yep.
So, in Henry Schein, that particular That particular item, they have 12 per case. With Boundtree Medical, they have one each. What is one each supposed to mean to me?
So that's one bag. When we put out the bid for EMS supplies and equipment and medications, we specify that they tell us the minimum order, the minimum quantity that we're allowed to order. And then we take that into consideration when we tabulate the bid. We don't need 12 of these. We order four a year. So 12 of them, as these are medications that expire. They have a date within 1 or 2 years of expiration. It wouldn't be favorable for us to order 12 of them and throw eight away. So we prefer to go with the vendor that can give us just one.
Okay, so if we, in this case, they're 26 per times 12 for a comparative Henry, they're still 315 versus 520.
Correct.
Okay. Councilman McAllister.
Chief, what are some of the medications that we are looking to purchase here?
Excuse me?
What are the supplies and medications specifically that we're looking to purchase here?
These are all the medications that are required by the Department of Health to run our emergency medical services, so the fire engines and the ambulances that that service the city.
And the reason why you want to have two bids is if one of the vendors doesn't have it, we need to have these life-saving equipment on the
Correct.
So you want to have the option.
Correct. So everybody knows, even in your own personal life, that a lot of medications get back ordered from pharmaceutical companies. And what this allows is if one vendor has a significant back order on a medication, the other vendor may actually have some stock remaining, and we can actually buy from the other vendor. Plus, it's a 50-50 split as far as the items go price-wise. It was almost a 50-50 split.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
So needless to say, Chief, any time a purchase is made, whoever is doing the purchasing for the fire department is going to go with the lowest number, unless the lowest number happens to be out and you happen to be out of inventory and got to have something that day, correct?
Absolutely correct. We always try to pick the lowest vendor first and then only use the other vendor if absolutely necessary.
When you say always try to pick, what you are saying in my interpretation is you are always going to use the low bidder unless the low bidder doesn't have inventory and you are out of inventory.
That's correct.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Sir, Councilman Howe.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
I have a quick question. Which one of these medications, if it's in this bid, I'm seeing some, I think some generic names here, would you use for overdoses?
That would be naloxone. That's item 31, 32, and 33.
Okay, so again, these are the ones that we're going to issue to the police, the fire, and also for I'm sorry, Chief. Go ahead. Clarify.
So the police will come with their own bid. That's why it says fire only. Typically, the police department will piggyback this bid, and
yes,
they typically only come for Narcan and associated equipment.
Okay. And I noticed that the price of each is $35.89.
That's correct.
So for every overdose that you have to, or if someone comes in contact, they have to go ahead and use, it's about $35.89 per nasal dose, so per spray, for that person to try to be revived. Or saved from the causes of the after effects of the overdose.
Correct. At least one or more. We could use up to five on a single patient.
Right. And is the city reimbursed if it's done for a non-city employee, fire or rescue? Is the city reimbursed for this cost?
So the cost of these medications is recouped in the rescue billing.
In the rescue bill.
Correct.
So that is added to the bill for the use of that medication?
For the fire department. The police
for
do
the
not
fire,
get recouped.
I'm sorry, yes.
The fire department does, because we do the billing. The police do not bill for this.
Okay. So there's three of them, three types, nasal, a syringe, and the other one's an injection. What's that, like a quick automatic injection? So it's
intravenous.
Intravenous.
The last one
would
be an intravenous injection.
Okay. It's interesting. Thank you so much, Chief.
No problem.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from
members? One question, Mr. Chair. Right here. Chief, there's a lot of vendors. Chief, there's a lot of vendors you sent the bids to, but we only got two back. Did we contact the vendors that didn't submit a bid to find out why they did not submit one?
Yeah, we did. This the bid go out to the same vendors that the medical supplies and equipment goes out to. It's about 54 vendors on that list. Only a handful of them actually distribute pharmaceuticals nationally to EMS. Of the four that were out there, two of them bid. One of them is in a consolidation process right now with another company, and they didn't have the time to bid. They couldn't get it in on time. And the other one couldn't hold 1 year of pricing. They weren't. It was too dynamic for them.
Got it. Thank you.
You know, it's been said by my colleagues, please do not give the mic to Ed. I don't know if that's good or bad. In any event, any other questions from members of the council?
Mr. Chair?
Sir.
I have a question, Chief. On page 3, the naloxone 4 milligram and 10 milligram vial, I see that Pfizer, which is under Boundary Medical, it's $143.16. And Shine is $53.48. That seems like a pretty big spread for the same product.
That is. Most of the companies have contracts with certain pharmaceutical companies. So it appears in this case that Boundary does not have a contract with the pharmaceutical company that Henry Schein does, who's now producing it cheaper. It's also a supply and demand issue for them.
Okay. Chief, I'm looking at rather lengthy list of additional vendors. We had, well, it looks like two bid on this. Did anyone from the department call any of those vendors and ask why they did not bid?
I did. That's the question I answered for Councilman Sinapi.
Okay, just I.
Sorry, there was only the, so this list is the same list we use for all medical supplies. Not all vendors have a national pharmaceutical contract that they actually distribute pharmaceuticals. Only a handful of them do. One of them is under a consolidation, More Medical in McKesson, and right now they didn't have the time to put a bid in. The other one wasn't comfortable with a hold in prices for 1 year because of how much pharmaceuticals fluctuate. They didn't have enough stock in order to price this out an entire year.
So the answer to the question is for those vendors that can provide the product that you're looking for, you did call to find out why they didn't bid?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? You need to come down to the mic, sir. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I didn't mean to make it difficult.
No, no worries.
But if you're not speaking into the mic, in addition to folks in the chamber not being able to hear, it cannot be picked up on the podcast.
Gotcha.
So that's why. Thank
you. Can everyone hear me okay? Mr. Chairman, Finance Committee, City Council members, first responders, teachers, students, parents, taxpayers, I want you to consider the level of scrutiny that you've given several of these folks asking for resources, the last of which was vital resources to our townspeople. The Porta-Johns and a bottle of Windex. The levels of stress that you've put them under, quantify that times the hundreds of students that are in attendance and the thousands that aren't here to speak for themselves. I want you to strongly consider that when you are considering cutting the school programs that you are considering. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Once again, I'm going to request that all speakers who would like to come to the mic, please keep your comments to the items that we're discussing. That's all I ask. You can stay up there as long as you want, but I just ask that you maintain the request to keep your comments to that item. 2020-037, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
2020-038, medical supplies and equipment, found on page 77. Chief?
Jason Oppenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department.
Chief, could you just slow down a little bit?
So it was loud enough, just
and,
not slow
in
enough.
In one of the budget hearings, I had said to one of our department heads, I just wondered if, you know, he was an auctioneer at one time, because blah, 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 blah. So I can understand it. You know, this, again, is a little slow. So, please.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
The bid for medical supplies and equipment, 2020-038, has been carefully reviewed by the fire department. Six vendors submitted bids. After evaluating pricing, the following vendors have met all the specifications outlined in our requests and have proposed the lowest prices. Therefore, I recommend the bid be awarded to the following vendors: Boundary Medical out of Dublin, Ohio, Henry Schein out of Irmo, South Carolina, and Concordance Healthcare Solutions, LLC. After tabulating the bid prices, we found that the three vendors had significantly lower pricing on certain areas of medical supplies and equipment than others. For this reason, the fire department believes that it is in the best financial interest of the city to award the bid to all three vendors. In reviewing the bid submitted, it became obvious that the vendors appear to have a distribution focus in certain areas, such as disposable items versus durable medical equipment. By splitting this bid into smaller, more specific categories, the fire department hopes to avoid awarding bids to more than two vendors in the future. Items will be purchased on an as-needed basis from budget code 35367, EMS supplies and equipment. The current bid expires on 7/20/19, and if approved, the new bid will be in effect for a one-year period beginning 7/21/19 for an amount not to exceed $65,000.
So here we are. We have a three-vendor request. So, Chief, item 31, on Henry Schein, it has a unit quantity. I'm assuming that is 10 per box.
So, actually, on my sheet, we disqualified that person because that was not a specified item.
You disqualified
that person? They specified a different product than the one we had specified in our bid.
What are you talking about? You disqualified that person. Where did you disqualify that person?
On my bid tabulation sheet, it does not qualify.
Well, on my bid tabulation sheet, it does. It's got item number 31, and it's got Boundary Medical, Henry Schein, and Concordance.
So I believe that the bid tabulation sheet that you get from the finance department is their bid tabulation sheet, but we go through each individual item because these medical vendors have a tendency to bid things that are not specified because they don't carry it, so they give us a alternate item that does not meet our recommendations.
Let Pat have the mic, please. So you're saying to me that you submitted documents to purchasing with your specific items, and what you're saying to me now is the documents that we have in front of us are different than what you submitted to purchasing? Is that what you're saying? Because I want to be clear with this, because if they are, I got a problem.
I believe typically both of us do our own tabulation, and we typically send our tabulation along with the one that purchases and does. They're required to do for the bid minutes, I believe.
So which tabulation am I supposed to make a decision on? Yours or in this book?
I believe the one in the book.
But that's not what you asked for.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm just telling you that if we were to purchase that item, it would not be the one that's specified by the Department of Health that we carry on our truck.
That's fine, but hadn't I asked you that question, I wouldn't have known that answer now, would I? Because you would not necessarily have said or known, you wouldn't know, have known necessarily what I have in my book is different than what you submitted, right?
That's correct.
So if I didn't ask the question about that one item, and it was a simple question, is it 10 boxes or 10 in a box? Now we find out that, whoa, what I have in my book is different than what you thought I had in my book. Pat, why is there a difference between what you, I assume, purchasing, sent to us in our binder versus what the chief submitted that he needed?
I don't have any information in regards to his listing. What I can tell you is that once we receive the bids in, we take the bids from the companies and put them in a tabulation sheet. I think there is a process afterwards where the department head might go item to item and disqualify an item because it doesn't meet their specs, but that's not in regards to the pricing that we're recording.
Okay, so all I know is
I have one department head says that he submitted one thing.
I think you're dying.
I have something else in my book that's different.
and I would not have.
I think you're dead.
You just shut it off.
That's why they don't like me to have the mic. It's different. What I have is different. Chief, are you out of supplies?
Am I out of supplies?
Yes.
We carry a very low stock of supplies because these items
out
expire.
Of supplies? Are you out of supplies?
Not right now. Not as of this moment.
And would it put anyone in harm's way if I hold this bid until the next meeting?
Absolutely not. It does not expire until 7/20.
I want the documents the same in our book as what you submitted. And I'm not going to approve anything different because I don't know what the hell is going on if I get two sets of documents. I need a motion. Wait a minute. Any comments from members of the committee? Any comments from members of the council? Any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Motion to hold to June 17.
Seconded.
You
need a PCR.
PCR 9219.
PCR 9219 holds until June, what was the date, Councilman?
17.
Chief, my suggestion would be to get together with purchasing and find out how this happened, how we had to have this conversation on the council floor, and how we're going to keep this from happening going forward. Okay?
Thank you. Take care of it.
I have a motion. I have a second. Do I have a motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2020-038, medical supplies and equipment. I'm sorry, that's the one we just completed. Spring repairs and related services, found on page 143. Christy?
Department's requesting to award the bid for spring repair and related services to Palmer Spring Company in the amount of $25,000 for a one-year period beginning July 1st, 2019, and expiring June 30th, 2020.
Christy? Closer to the mic, please. Talk a little louder so everyone could hear, because I couldn't hear part of what you said. Please.
The department's requesting to award this bid to Palmer Spring Company in the amount of $25,000 for a one-year period beginning July 1st, 2019 and expiring June 30th, 2020.
Christy, in your position paper here, you say this was a rebid to revise the specifications requiring vendors to submit pricing for all parts as well as documentation, et cetera, et cetera. You state that, which is something that we've been working on between the departments and this finance committee. It's one of the culture changes that I spoke about earlier. The department reached out to the other local shop that does this type of repair. While they did submit a bid for the first advertisement, they could not confirm if they had received the rebid. What does that mean? Did they get the rebid or didn't they get the rebid?
So I called the woman that had submitted the bid the first time that got rejected to see if she had received the rebid, because we didn't receive anything from them the second time. It went to the same email that we had sent it to the first time, and she said to me, oh, I don't know if I got it. I don't check that email all the time. Send it to this one next time. So I have the current email address for that company in Cranston.
Was that email address the same email address as you used before?
Yes.
And had this company bid on other occasions?
They submitted a bid the first time.
And was there any time before that that they submitted a bid?
This company has been kind of in and out. It's called Woodward's Auto Spring Shop, but it's Arcan in Cranston. And at one point they had shut their doors a couple of years ago and apparently since been bought out and reopened. So I'm not sure why she didn't get the second specification.
And were any calls made to
any other vendors to find out why they didn't bid?
Yes. Truck Solutions, the email that we had for them, it was stated that that was their graphics department, and they probably didn't know what to do with it, so I have an updated email address for that company. Tasca Ford.
If I can't hear her, I'm sure you guys can't hear her. Go ahead.
Tasca Ford only does the smaller trucks. We primarily use this for our sanitation vehicles and fire trucks for those spring repairs.
And what do you have left in that budget code right now?
In 65314, we have probably about $35,000. $3,500 currently.
And this bid expires when?
This bid doesn't begin until July 1st.
And do you have anything encumbered?
We have a purchase order that is encumbered. We have a couple of vehicles that need to be fixed. There is a transfer that is happening from within this division from one code to another to cover that. And
so
that should be it.
The $3,500 that you have remaining in this account will take care of those items that still need to be fixed, plus the items that are encumbered?
No, the transfer will take care of the items that need to be fixed.
Okay. So I'm going to segue for a minute at the risk of getting hollered at, but I'm going to do it. I don't mean hollered at by you folks, you know, maybe my colleagues here on the council. So what the lady at the mic is talking about when she says an encumbrance, I realize that many of you are new to the council meeting and new to some of the procedures. It took me quite a long time to get acclimated to some of these procedures as well. An encumbrance is an item that a department head has purchased or requested through a purchase order but hasn't received yet. So the money is kind of put out there as an accounts payable, as we know it in, you know, the outside world. So that's what she meant when she said an encumbrance. Any other questions from members? Sir, Councilman McAllister.
Christy, what type of vehicles are we doing the repairs on?
This is primarily for sanitation trucks and fire apparatus.
So this is to keep the garbage trucks and the fire trucks on the road?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2019-319, rebuild water pump, 151. I'm sorry, page 151.
Public
this
Works.
Is a 56-6. Sorry, Christy. This is a 56-6. Go ahead.
Public Works is requesting a 56-6 for Tri-County Contractor Supply to rebuild a water pump on the vac oil truck we acquired some time ago from the sewer department, actually. The oil and water is mixing. It's still a good truck. We just have this one issue with it. We are asking for $2,848.45 for the repair.
I'm sorry, Christy, what is this truck again?
This truck cleans the catch basins and the drainage lines throughout the city.
Okay. Which we know we've had issues with over the past couple of years. So, Christy, obviously it's a lot more cost-effective to make this repair and keep this vehicle in the fleet than going out to buy a new vehicle.
Yes.
What's the age of this vehicle?
It's a 2000 International.
It's 2000 what?
International.
2000 International. How many miles on this truck?
19,436. It still has some life in it. It just needs to be fixed.
No, listen, that's good. That's good. I remember a few years ago when I may not have gotten the answer to that. Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee? Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, Chrissy. Did you share how much would a new pump be?
I did not get a quote for that from the automotive division.
Do we get a warranty with this rebuild?
With the rebuild?
Do they give us so many months or whatever with the warranty?
I know they do guarantee that it doesn't say on their paperwork. I know they do guarantee their work for at least 90 days. We can certainly ask them for something in writing and get it to the council members if.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Director?
Matthew Solitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick.
Matt, louder, please.
Matthew Solitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick.
I know you know how to yell because you've yelled at me in the past.
I know. We received quotes from between $6,000 and $8,000 for that pump brand new. We felt it more cost effective to have it rebuilt.
Thank you. And I'm just going to take it a step further, Director, particularly for the benefit of all of our residents that are here in the room this evening. Over the last year or so, you know what? You tell it. Tell us about a few of the things that you've done a little more with a little less on those vehicles. Because, again, the question that the lady asked earlier was an excellent question, and the members of the public have a right to know these things that are going on. Go ahead.
So due to budget constraints, the department has taken on...
Louder, Matt.
What's that?
Is that mic on?
Can you hear me? Hello? Yeah. No?
No.
Hello?
There you go. Now it's on. The red light's on.
What, do you have a special mic? So due to budget constraints, the department has undergone where we're rebuilding equipment, doing a cost-benefit analysis. We have a talented welder and a fabricator. So we're rebuilding things that we might have discarded before, and not through anybody's fault, but there's a useful life for every single piece of equipment that we have. So we're trying to take a good hard look and see what we can do to rebuild these trucks. For instance, we just got three 8-foot beds from Dejana Trucking in Smithfield and put them on some of the rotted beds and rebuilt a couple of pieces of equipment. We've done the same thing with a $125,000 truck. We dropped a new motor in it, transmission, rebuilt the body on it, complete service, new brake lines, and we're into that for about $18,000 plus the man hours for the mechanics as opposed to $125,000. So those are some of the instances in what, you know, which we're trying to move forward, save the city a little bit of money, and you know, it comes at a cost for man hours, but it also saves the city quite a bit of money.
And recently we also have a rescue on order for a grant, $700,000 rescue that we're getting for like $60,000, and we also have a new fire truck that we have what's new to us, a fire truck that Mayor Solomon just negotiated a purchase on for $25,000 for a piece of equipment that could easily cost us $500,000 if we had to go out and buy it, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Anything else on the water pump?
No. I mean, this was a piece of equipment acquired from the sewer authority.
Okay.
We've utilized it quite a bit.
Got it. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Director. Item 2019-318, State of Rhode Island Computer Technical Support Services, found on page 154.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. I respectfully request this be held until the June 17th meeting.
Need a motion to hold at the request of the sponsor.
Motion to hold at the request of the sponsor to June 17th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
PCR 9319. Thank you, Director. All right. Moving on. Once again, I need a motion for the acceptance of the minutes on May 20th.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. First item, PCR 62-19, formerly 2020 hydraulic parts and repairs. Christy?
This is the bid that was held for additional information regarding the parts list that I believe you should have received previously.
And Christy, the reason that it was held was because of something I spoke to earlier, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And it was because that the bid was submitted to us with discounts only without list prices, correct?
Yes.
And you were kind enough to go back to the drawing board and send this back out again and get this bid where now we do have list prices to compare the discount prices to know who's given us the better deal, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. PCR 72-19, formerly 2020-008, City of Warwick and Warwick Public Schools Medical Pharmacy and Dental Insurance Benefits.
William D. Pasquale, Chief of Staff. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Honorable Finance Committee, and all those fine folks here tonight showing that democracy works. In October of 2018, the City Council awarded a consulting contract to HILB Group, doing business as Cornerstone, to develop a request for proposal for employee medical and dental insurance, evaluate the bid responses, and provide recommendation for selection of a healthcare provider. In response to requests for proposals, the city received offers from three health insurance providers: the Rhode Island Interlocal Risk Management Trust, the West Bay Community Health, and United Health. Two of the three bidders are healthcare collaboratives providing medical insurance to municipalities and school departments under contract with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Rhode Island. We were able to comply with all the bid requirements. Additionally, United Healthcare submitted a bid offering, medical, pharmacy, and dental, all under a self-insurance arrangement which can't be considered because UHC, United Healthcare, did not submit a bid for stop-loss insurance, which was required. And the city received no stop-loss bids from any insurer on a direct basis, and therefore we could not utilize United Healthcare without stop-loss coverage. Each of the collaborative is a nonprofit entity overseen by a member-only board of directors comprised of participating municipalities and school districts. Both collaboratives operate under different business models that give members varying degrees of risk protection. The trust is offering a guaranteed premium, fully insured, that represents a significant savings to Warwick. However, their bid raised major concerns by the consultant. It is a purchasing collaborative that has a health pool that is owned by its members. As a member in its trust health pool, the city would participate in risk-sharing arrangement with other communities that are members of the health pool. Additionally, contract with the trust requires that the city stay in the trust health pool for at least 36 months. The liquidation penalty for the city is approximately the cost of 1 month's premium, which is estimated to be $1,600,000. Since our recommendation regarding these bids was sent to this honorable body, some new information has come to light. In particular, on May 20th, 2019, 7 days after our amended recommendation was forwarded to this honorable body, it was brought to our attention from the West Bay Community Health that their funds available for the incurred but not reported claims in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Rhode Island reserve amount totaled $419,100 as of 4/30/2019. In addition, it was also communicated that WBCH is waiting to receive the first 100% rebate check that is due to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Rhode Island. The total estimated rebate accrual of as of 4/30/2019 would be more than offset the total IBNR of $853,827 when combined with the Blue Cross Blue Shield reserve account. Accordingly, these facts brand the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust submission as more attractive within the first year, with savings of $1.6 million, $1.33 if we extend a WB, even with factoring in the $1.6 million liquidation penalty for early withdrawal. On the school side, it's $1.8 million to schools. Unless otherwise resolved, the administration would provide deference to the trust bid submission for one-year bid of $19,827,863. In regard to the dental bid, WBCH has a 3,096 annualized increase, and the trust has a 8,476 annualized decrease. To this end, the administration also recommends the dental insurance bid be awarded to the trust for a period of 1 year. With me tonight to answer questions is Rob Calise, which is our healthcare consultant, as well as our personnel director and our finance director. Mr. Chair?
Please. Before we go on to Rob, any questions from members of the committee or the council from the chief? All right, chief, we'll reserve our questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
After. Rob, if you would, please state your name for the record.